The maximum height for police recruits from 5 feet 10 inches to 5 feet 9 was not conducive to upgrading or maintaining the standards of the Tacoma Department, and took the same issue with a change in vision requirements. Last night, after a couple of hours of heated argument, he told counsel that actually the reduction in height requirements was just the straw that broke the policeman's back, bringing to a head the long-growing resentment and breakdown of morale in the department. Copen took issue with and was backed up by the president of the Policemen's Union. The statements made by the police chief and the city manager in the press denying department morale had sunk to a low level. The union board reaffirmed Copeland's statement, contradicting the statements of the chief and the manager. Apparently, it annoyed Councilman Dick Haley that personnel might be unhappy, and he made some decidedly, or so it seems to me, ill-advised statements about people who are unhappy getting up. His utterances bringing union president Tony Zatkovich, a former city chief of police himself, to his feet, and some sharp remarks for Councilman Haley and the opinion. Just a week or so ago, the local Gazette had much to say about Zatkovich and his partner Ted Strand, the excellence of their work and their value to the department. So one assumes even the staunchly partisan paper, which very seldom disagrees with the city government, places some credence in the work of Tony Zatkovich, or the word. Councilman Jerry Bott spent most of 3 hours trying to smooth tempers, interject a note of sanity into the proceedings, and kept begging fellow members to appoint a panel for review and study of the whole situation, put over any action until the 1st of June. Copeland had requested such a discussion and study. In the end, the remainder of council turned down his resolution and went on record supporting a new image as to our police personnel and letting the city personnel director lower standards in some opinions, and I presume improve them in his own and the city government opinion. However, it seemed to me, as I reviewed this, that the city attorney said the Civil Service Commission set these things. Well, has the Civil Service Commission set them, or has the city personnel director set these things? Copeland told counsel that unless members agreed to submit the rule changes and grievances to a mediation, he would read a list of 30 or more grievances. That did it. Members started crying that they were being strong-armed, threatened, and that they would not submit to such tactics. I should think a city council would be ashamed that any citizen would have to resort to such emphasis to secure consideration of what is certainly a city problem. The denial of breakdown in police department morale, of course, is silly, too utterly so for any serious consideration. That is certainly no secret and hasn't been for many years. But just a week ago, it seems to me, unless I read incorrectly, that the police chief was again calling a reporter for the local paper a liar. I believe this also happened when he claimed he did not make certain statements in the civil service hearing of a man dismissed from the force for being in a downtown shop which the city manager and the chief of police had given their stamp of approval and had duly licensed under the city. In other words, a rule of do what I demand in order, not a rule of law for the citizenry. I find that out in the conduct of property around my own home. There's been continual dissension in the police department for years. Police Chief Roy Kerr ended up in a hassle with the city management. We've lost some of the finest officers any police department could boast, and a chief aim of personnel is to reach the age limit where they can get away from the department. Just because the department and management has reached the stage where it's well-nigh impossible to attract the type of men they want into the department is little reason for lowering department standards, and that's what this is all about. Never before this present obnoxious form of government did the city of Tacoma ever have to resort to scouring the highways and byways for men to join the police department. I spent years writing about the police personnel in the Tacoma Times, endeavoring to tell Tacomans the type of men they actually had serving and protecting them. And we had mighty fine men and a mighty fine setup. You, many of you, know the story of the regime established by the local minister who loves to play politics, what eventually happened when the safety commissioner was put out of office by his fellow city commissioners and the mayor. Since those years, our department has never been the same. And most certainly, under the city manager form of government, this service, as with most others in Tacoma, has steadily deteriorated. Today, the police department must lower what officers consider necessary standards to try and get manpower. When the officers protest, your policemen protest, this is what happens. It would be well, or so it seems to me, for Union President Tony Zatkovich and Attorney Robert Copeland to make public the considerable number of grievances they declare are on file and let Tacomans know what it's all about. All the public gets is a monthly handout about the decrease in crime, the excellence of the department, and such. The same public, so much of which complains over and over about the uselessness of calling the department about their troubles. It seems to me Tacoma City Council, elected to represent the people of Tacoma, takes a very unfortunate, regrettable stand when members are not interested enough to know what goes on in the city and with such vitally important departments. Why don't these 8 men and 1 woman know about conditions? Are they serving only to rubber stamp demands for federal funds, serving only to plunge the city deeper and deeper into debt? One wonders if they're aware of the thousands of Tacomans who signed petitions demanding a freeholder election, and that they may face a day of reckoning and explaining. Do they possibly think Tacomans are going to finance and subsidize such a thing as that airport forever? That the citizenry are going to put up cash for that dreamed-about golf course over there, a restaurant set up in connection with it? It's high time Tacomans took over and got the city government back into their own hands with some right to speak and work for their city. High time indeed, when even the city council has no right under this unbelievably written charter, no voice in the setup of such a vitally important department as the police department. But then city council flatly refuses to obey the charter and make the audits and reports of city finances to the people that even the charter says must be made. So what can we expect? One wonders what a grand jury would make of all this sort of thing. Former King County Assessor A.J. Tony Steen and his deputy James Arthur Lee today were given prison sentences not to exceed 10 years for taking bribes from a tax consultant. This is shocking to so many, many people, for Tony Steen had a great, great many friends, people who had admired and supported him over the years. Superior Court Judge William J. Wilkins of King County, considering the hitherto clean background of both these men, says that he will recommend that Steen's minimum sentence be 18 months, Lee's 12 months. Our state traffic death toll today stands at 214, as against 169 for the same period of last year. So far in this April, in the first 20 days of April, 53 people have been killed. 44 were killed in the same period last year. And reports from our Wenatchee and Okanagan Valley, from the orchards, are that they suffered the past couple of nights in the sharp freezes that have set in. This is certainly funny weather. What a glorious, glorious day yesterday, and then the rains came during the night. Now it seems you're going to have a couple of more days, 2 more at least, of unsettled weather, and the temperature took a decided drop in our area during the night. I hope nothing very serious has happened to those orchards. Good news from Washington, D.C., that the House passed legislation to authorize restoration of the Grand Coulee Dam. That'll bring it up to its former standing as the world's most powerful hydroelectric project. And I think some of the members of our city council are on their way down to Mossy Rock today, where they will have a view. This is the day, remember, at that magnificent viewpoint they're calling it. You can drive down to the very attractive little building there. Stands right on this high cliff and looks right down upon the Mossy Rock Dam. Take your cameras along, because it's a magnificent view, and you'll get an idea then of what this second dam of our college project really is. It's stupendous. It's the sort of thing that just defies description, or so it seemed to me. I called it breathtaking, and I thought it was marvelous. Do get down and see it. The official opening is today. Washington State Highway Commission has voted to request an extension of Highway 12 from Clarkston to Yakima over what is Highway 410. The commission made the decision to request this extension as far as Yakima in the hope of avoiding a conflict with Oregon, over which state should get that final section of the federal highway. Highway 12 now extends from Detroit to Lewiston, Idaho, as you know. The King County Grand Jury report on the Courthouse Remodeling Project in Seattle has been suppressed by the state Supreme Court. A unanimous opinion signed by all 9 members of the court yesterday called for temporary suppression of the report as a solution to conflicting situations, the rights of one party, and disclosure of evidence that might work a hardship in the court. John Hoonan of Tacoma has been elected secretary, and Victor Rosalini of Seattle, president of the newly formed Washington Restaurant Association of our state. Vic Rosalini, was president of the state Washington State Restaurant Association that merged with the Class H licenses on April 1st. John Hoonan becomes the secretary, Tom Nash of Rockaway is the treasurer, and Jack Gordon was officially elected executive vice president and manager of the new associate. Jack.